We talked about the fact that Jesus is the king of this kingdom. And that in this kingdom, the miraculous is supposed to be normal. So we looked at that, and then Jesus made this new kingdom, this new covenant, all about relationship. What he did was, he said, everything that is written in here can be summarized in two statements. Well, that's pretty remarkable, because I don't know how thick yours is, but mine's pretty thick. So that's a lot to reduce down to two statements. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength was the first one. And we've established in the past that the way you get to develop relationship is by spending time with people. So, for example, I now have three son-in-laws. Yay! I hear them talking about who's their favorite, so we won't go there. But and so they did not grow up in my house. They were not originally a part of my family. So I've had the wonderful experience of getting to know each of them. And they are all so completely different and unique. I mean, I thought my girls were different and unique. Yeah, you throw in these three guys from different states, different backgrounds. And so we have gotten to know each other by spending time with each other. And I have the unique experience as a father-in-law to also be all three of their pastors. So we've got to know each other in that relationship. And then vacations together, birthdays together, holidays together, going through some difficult times together. And so now I think we know each other fairly well. But if they would be living in Florida and I would see them once a year, the relationship would be completely different. And so with God, you can't just have a relationship for an hour and a half or 2 hours on Sunday morning. It has to be, if you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That means you have to spend a lot of time with him so that you get to know him and he gets to know you. So where I had planned to go today, which we'll get to next week if I don't get to it today, is some points on how to do that. But then the second statement Jesus made, he said these two statements summarize everything about this new covenant. Is love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do we even think about loving ourselves? So if he told us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, that must mean that if we don't love ourselves, we would have difficulty loving our neighbor. Right? So, it's hard to love ourselves if we don't like ourselves. So I want to talk a little bit about where do we get our identity from. So our identity comes from a couple different places. So Pastor Kurt, it's going to be in this section that we're going to play that song then. Okay? So, think with me. Oh, yeah, not right at the moment. Yeah, he's surprising me a lot lately. So, there's a couple different ways that we get our identity. One of them is what people say about us, either to us or about us. And so if we hear enough times, you're dumb. You're just dumb. Well, that may be completely false, but what happens? You start to believe that. That's why you should never say to a kid, you're dumb or you're bad. Now, you could say that thing you did was not a good choice or that was a bad thing you just did. But see, that's different than saying they're bad. Because bad is their identity. And they start thinking, I'm bad. Well, surprise, I'm really a wild teenager now. Well, you've told me I was bad since I've been 3, and now I'm 14, so I'm going to prove it to you. You know, you spoke it over me, and I believed it, and so here we go. Okay? It could have been a teacher. It could be, you know, just kids on the playground, and you believe what they say. That sticks and stones thing, that is a complete lie. That has harmed so many kids because, you know, if they have 3 or 4 friends gather around them and tease them and all say the same thing, you go home and you think, oh, well, all 3 of them think that. That must be true, right? Okay, so that's one of the ways. The other way is what you tell yourself. And so what happens is, for example, you mess up. You think, boy, I really failed at that. And then your mind, or the enemy, or both, plays a little trick on you and you say, I'm a failure. Hello? You failed does not equal you are a failure. You know, when you look at some of the people who made the most exciting advances in their fields, they got there by failing 100 times before the 101 time that it actually worked. And I think I shared with you a number of years ago, so I didn't pull it up because this is not what I thought I was speaking on this morning, about Abraham Lincoln. He tried for so many offices and so many times, and he never got anything, and then he became president. And he's known as one of our greatest presidents. So failing does not make you a failure. All right? So that's what I feel like the Lord wants us to spend a little time addressing today. What have people spoken over us that we believe that is not true? And what have we said to ourselves that is not true? You know, we may have said things like, I'm no good at that, or I'm a bad, and then you can fill in the blank. It's important that we know what God says about us, because that's the only thing that's true. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So I feel like today he wants to set us free. So we're going to do a couple things. I personally believe, because of some training that I've got, that it's really difficult to break off things, the lies that people have spoken over us, if we don't first forgive them. So we're going to go there first and let God walk us through this a little bit. And then we're going to go to the lies that we've told ourselves. And then we're going to listen to this song where we hear some truth about who we actually are. And we're going to see what God wants to do this morning. Okay? So, let's just close our eyes. Remember, we are welcome and expected. Invited, welcome, and expected into His presence. Into His courtyard. So He has chairs on His patio, and we're just going to sit and talk to Him. So Heavenly Father, today, as Pastor Steve was starting this and was saying things that people have said over us, this is the first thing that came to my mind. I remember when, and if you don't know the specific person, then you can just say people, but if you know the specific person, I can remember when this person said this to me. And Heavenly Father, I make the decision, not the emotions, I make the decision to forgive, and then telling that person for saying that thing about me. Maybe three people said it, four people said it. So Father, I choose to forgive, and then name each person who may have spoken that thing over. Is there a second thing that comes to mind that people have said about you or to you that has caused your identity to be different than Father God would want it to be? If so, then let's do this. So Father God, I forgive that person as well for saying this to me or calling me or talking behind my back and saying that I was this. I choose to forgive. And Father God, now that I've done that, and if you have more, just keep going. Father God, now that I've done that, I want to hear your truth. I want to hear who you say that I am. And Jesus, if I've been playing this tape in my mind, calling myself something that you don't call me, if I've been calling myself a failure, if I've been calling myself a bad parent, a bad person, a bad whatever, and you don't call me that, then I ask you to forgive me for believing a lie. And instead, I want to start calling myself what you call. So Jesus, we invite you today as a congregation. We invite you as families. We invite you as individuals to come and speak over us truth that will set us free today. Truth of how you see us, how you've created us to be, and how you desire us to be. Because it's only how you see us and how you destined us to be that is true. Not what others call us or see us, not what we call or see ourselves. But yes, we're your daughters, we're your sons, and we are fearful and wonderfully made. And we're going to proclaim that truth today. So we shake off and throw down lies today, and instead we speak up, we pick up truth that you speak over us. Yes, thank you for setting us free, from loosing us from lies today. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Feel a little different? Amen. Amen. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to give you my introduction, and then I'm going to let you go. So we won't be playing that other thing. And then I'll pick it up here next week and go into the rest of the message. But I want us to get the idea of how different that relationship is with God, Old Covenant to New Covenant. And then give you some additional practical ways to work on that relationship. So let's just look at, I want to do four things in the Old and four things in the New, and how they're a little bit different. Actually, a lot different. So in the Old Covenant, number one, you kept your distance from God. You didn't want to get too close to God because there could be some consequences, including dying. So if you approached him and you weren't ready or you did it the wrong way, you were dead. So that would make you a little cautious approaching God. Keep your distance. In the Old Covenant, number two. Oh, okay, well, I just have a sense some of you are like, what's he talking about? Okay, so they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. And it was falling off the cart. And somebody reached up and touched it. Death. If you were a priest and you went into the Holy of Holies, and you didn't have everything just right, death. They would tie ropes around their ankles, and then they had bells around the bottom of their robes. So when they heard them in there, they could hear tinkle, 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 tinkle. Well, if that stopped and they heard a clump, then they could drag them out from under the curtain. Yeah. Okay. Number two, there were many procedures and requirements before you could even start to approach God. Many procedures and requirements. Cleansings, sacrifices, oil, baths. You couldn't approach God if you had been around anybody dead, if you had touched anybody diseased. That we could go on and on and on. Okay? In the Old Covenant number three, the Holy Spirit came upon a few selected individuals. And it actually would tell you by saying, and the Holy Spirit came upon, and then it would be a prophet. Or the Holy Spirit came upon, and it was King David, or whoever the individual was. A few selected individuals had the Holy Spirit come upon them. Number four, only priests regularly ministered to God. There are a few exceptions. And we're going to actually next week look at an exception. But it was normally the priest. Most of the rest of the people, their relationship with God was offering sacrifices so that they could be justified enough they felt that God would answer and listen to their prayers. But it says that their sins were not forgiven. They were covered. Covered. Now, in the new covenant, this new kingdom that Jesus came and gave his life to establish. So remember, the first one was keep your distance. This is what it says in this new covenant. Let us therefore draw near with confidence. Okay, you wouldn't have had confidence in the old covenant. You'd have fear most of the time. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that you may receive mercy. Yeah. And find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Little bit different. Number two, remember there were many procedures and requirements. In the new covenant, it says, the law made nothing perfect. But you now have a better hope that was introduced that allows us to draw near to God. Jesus became the guarantor of a better covenant, and he completely saves those who draw near to God through him. Hebrews 7. So now we don't approach God on our own righteousness, on our own having done the right things first. We now have access to God through Jesus. Jesus was the holy and perfect one who met every one of those requirements so that we don't have to meet every one of those requirements. So he made a way for us to draw near to God. Okay? Number three. Remember, in the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit came upon a few selected individuals. In the New Covenant, Jesus told us that when He returned from heaven, okay, when He went back up to heaven from earth, after His death and resurrection, He would send the Holy Spirit, and we would now be sanctuaries. We would now be dwelling places for God. The Spirit of God now dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 3. So not coming and going, not just on a few individuals, but all of us. And He now is not just upon me, He's in me. So the Holy Spirit is in me and with me, and He stays. In the Old Covenant, it would say, He came upon and named the person He came upon, and then He'd leave. Come and leave, come and leave. Now He's inside of us, and He stays. Aren't you thankful about that? Number four, in this new relationship with God, we are invited, welcomed, and encouraged to worship Him. Jesus said, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him in that way. So again, in the Old Covenant, the priests, the people in the temple, ministered to God. The rest of the people did not. In the New Covenant, we are all worshipers. All of us were invited into that company. Yay! Because I love worshiping. So I'd been terribly disappointed if I'd had to be a spectator and just watch. But in this New Covenant, we are all invited and expected and encouraged to worship the King of Kings. All right, well, let's stand. I think God did what He wanted, so I'm not going to prolong it, and that's where we're going to pick up next week. Well, Father, what a joy it is to be in Your house today. What a joy it is to be with Your people today, the family of God. We thank You that You have brought us together here at Christian Life Community Church to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to strengthen one another. I am thankful that we can speak truth to one another. How You see us. We can encourage each one another to throw off, break off, and tear down lies, and choose instead to believe truth. Father, thank You that through Jesus, we now can come before You with confidence, knowing that in Your presence is grace and mercy, knowing that we get there through what Jesus accomplished for us, but we stay there as Your sons and Your daughters. Jesus made the way, but then You adopted. You chose us to be part of Your family. And as such, we're always welcome. You want us to get to know You better, to spend more time with You. And so we want to be known as a people that go after encounters with God. People who pursue being in the presence of God. People who look forward to entering His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. That we would be participants in worship and not just spectators. If we were serving You in the Old Covenant, we would not even have that opportunity. But here, we are encouraged to worship. And Holy Spirit, I am so thankful that You come to stay. That You don't come and go, that You come and stay. That You are living within me, and You are always with me. You never leave me. I'm never alone. and you come along for the purpose of supporting me, encouraging me, holding me up, comforting me, speaking to me about Jesus, bringing to mind the things that Jesus said, the truth that will set us free. Father, we want to be those who are free, who live in freedom. So come and continue to speak truth over us. And Father, yes, we are believing for breakthrough in these areas of our lives that we've been pushing and pushing and pushing against. And it may have felt like we were pushing against steel, but one of these days our hands are going to go through like it's paper. We're just going to punch through that area we couldn't punch through before. And we're going to move into victory. We're believing that not only for ourselves, but for each other. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a great day.